those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
And so it was, our Lord, the days were accomplished that she should be.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, let us pray. Give us grateful hearts, O God, for the invitation to draw near unto thee, and for the assurance that thou wilt draw near unto us. Thou art far above our highest thought, yet very near to us in moments of adoration. In thy presence, we remember thy servants who have special need of thy help this day, including those whom we mention in the silence of our hearts. Prepare us, O God, for the celebration of thy love at the Christmas season. Help us to explore more precisely and thoughtfully than we have ever done before the ways the living Lord comes to us. May we never hide behind professional duties, hearts that are empty and cold, but may thy truth illuminate our minds, and may thy love burn like a flame in our souls as we interpret the event which gives meaning to every event, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It was very kind of the committee to invite me to participate in this festival of Christmas worship, and to say a few words about what Christmas means to me. I speak from within the Christian community. I am within the Christian community by personal commitment and by vocation. And what I shall say is derived from the record of our heritage and from the fellowship within which we live and work. First of all, Christmas means that God knows us as we are and loves us. This insight is set forth with great precision in the 8th verse of the 5th chapter of Romans. God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has taken costly action in our behalf, and he is with us on every difficult and dangerous assignment in this complicated world. On one Christmas, I brought the commencement address to the graduating class of a medical school during World War II. I was not adequately prepared to see the class march in uniform, but the thought dawned on my mind very quickly that here were men who were prepared to go to what we at that time called theaters of conflict in the world. And I was glad that I had prepared a message based on the 10th verse of the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. I am come that men might have life and that they might have it abundantly. And I could say to those young doctors that even in the terrible places of peril and conflict, where irrational and absurd behavior was taking place in our civilization, they could say to themselves, each one, I have come not to kill and destroy, but that men might have life. God has taken costly action in our behalf, and we know that he loves us and that he is with us on every creative and dangerous assignment on earth. Moreover, Christmas means that through his children, God himself becomes visible in the midst of human need. He came in Jesus Christ to visit and to redeem his people. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, who was full of grace and truth. That child grew to maturity, and with remarkable discrimination, he discovered how to become visible in human need. And those who have shared his spirit and identified themselves with his purpose from that day to this have been willing to go with whatever resources of knowledge and professional skill at their command, where human need was present. I have on my desk at home the photograph of a country physician. He was a man of creative compassion who loved people and ministered intelligently and tenderly to the sick and the distressed. He was a man of science whose alert and honest mind wanted to know the facts, and who knew how to speak the truth in love, and who had very little sympathy with anybody who tried to evade the facts. He was a man of religious faith who loved the Savior and walked humbly with God. He died young, but he elevated the life of a community. And many of us who had his guidance and help through critical illness thought that he had come that we might have life. That man went where human need took him, without thought of financial remuneration or personal comfort, day or night. And on Christmas of 1938, I went a long way to conduct his funeral. With a joy in my heart for the memory of a man through whom God himself had become visible among the poor and the needy of a community. God is visible through his children today. I have seen the great cities of this nation, at least from the air. And I have some knowledge of the social forces at work in them. I think there may be great cathedrals in the future at the center of the cities. Great cathedrals as centers of religious faith and truth, related in 100 ways, through science, through technology, through business, through industry, through family life, to every segment of need in these great cities. This is one possibility. We might discover what a cathedral is in a city. And there will be men of God in the cathedral. But the cathedral will be related to human need. In the loneliness of apartment houses, where there are people who have what they now call a hole in the heart, which neither the gadgets nor the games we play can fill. It will be men and women of God who know how to place something in that hole in the heart, so that it will no longer be a life of emptiness and loneliness, but of companionship and faith. God, through His children, becomes visible in human need. You and I have seen the great cities of our nation, and we have some awareness of the need there, but we have flown late at night from Washington to Atlanta to Dallas to Oklahoma City to Nashville to Miami, and we have seen the little patches of light and then the dark spaces between. And we know that there are county seat towns where there is great human need. We know there are men and women, children and youth, who are cut off from the sources of our spiritual heritage. Some of them are trying to escape from life through drugs. Some are trying to become very aggressive through the exercise of whatever instruments of power are available to them. But whether they are withdrawing are advancing, they are lost without God and without hope in the world. They have holes in their hearts that may be filled with truth and love. There are now 2,343 alumni of this school. I think that at this Christmas season, God will become visible in the midst of human need through many of these men and women who have worshiped and studied here, and who have manifested a willingness to go where human need takes them. In third place, Christmas means that it is more blessed to give than to receive. This insight, as you know very well, is recorded in the 35th verse of the 20th chapter of Acts. And there are some somewhat irreverent minds who have said that if it is more blessed to give than to receive, they want other people to have the benefit So they will let them do the giving and they will do the receiving. But after all such sophisticated utterances have been sifted, the fact remains that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And after the irreverence has passed, as it will pass, there are people who will remember that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Some of us learn this early in life. Some of us learn it in middle age. Some of us learn it in old age. But I think most of us learn it somewhere on the human pilgrimage. I learned it at Christmas of 1925. I was in my second year as a student at Wake Forest College on this campus. The Great Depression hit the farms almost 10 years before it hit the cities of this nation. And we lived on a little farm in a remote community. We had enough to eat and to wear and fuel for the cold nights, but we had almost no money. And in the middle of my second year in college, I decided to withdraw from school. I had spent all the money available to me or to my family. And the day classes ended, I caught a ride on a truck to Winston-Salem, and then another ride in a car to within 5 miles of home. And then after a brisk walk through the countryside, I arrived. And when my mother met me, I saw that her hands were stained a deep yellow and apparently were blistered in many places. And I inquired what had happened to her. And she said nothing had happened to her. But on Christmas morning, there were $75 by my plate at breakfast. And I discovered that my mother, who had a great love of learning but had never had an opportunity to go to school, had been cracking walnuts at night to earn enough money to permit me to continue in school. And when I came back at the beginning of the new year with that money in my pocket and with that memory of my mother in my mind, I knew that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I think this is a lesson to be learned at Christmas. When we remember the unspeakable gift of God through His Son to His people. Aristotle said that magnanimity is a major virtue, but that in order to practice magnanimity, a person must have something to give. If you and I have truth in our minds and love in our hearts, we have something to give. If we have really listened to what the eternal God has been saying to His people for a long time, we have something to share. And I trust that as we celebrate the Christmas season this year, we shall not ask ourselves how little we can give, but how much we can give. And that we shall try to order or reorder our priorities so that we shall understand where human need really lies. And where the fountain of freedom really flows. And the reality from which it takes its rise. And as we enjoy the freedom of the sons of God, we shall share the love of God in a Christian ministry to human need. I have in my pocket a check and a letter, a check in the amount of $500 to this school, a letter from a great man who has been through a long series of serious illnesses, costly in every way. He loves this school. He wants the teachers to have an opportunity to teach. He wants the students to have freedom and encouragement to learn. He knows that it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is what Christmas means to me. God knows us as we are and loves us. I don't understand that, but it's true. God Himself becomes visible through His children in human need. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us sing hymn number 72. Enable us, O God, to celebrate Christmas in the spirit of Jesus Christ and to discover the relation between justice and wisdom and between wisdom and peace in his name.